Fierce Femme Media.
I mean,
maybe eventually.
Get to the last 1,000 words and just be like, fuck it, I'm gonna kill her.
I'm gonna kill her. I'm driving these dicks over a cliff. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, it's done. There you go. The end.
The end. No epilogue.
They lived happily.
No
ever.
No denouement.
No.
Look at me. Look at me. I know about the writing things.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Weekly Wind Down. I am Jackie D, the literary lesbian.
I am Stacy, the political princess.
Yes, you are.
And crushed I'm Karen, the geeky gal pal. Woo-hoo.
200 episodes in, you crushed it.
Nailing it. It's hard when Stacy's not here.
I know.
Because I just like want to say New Age Old School Mom.
I think you paused a little
she
bit.
Pause.
Like,
yeah.
No, that was my homage.
So Stacy, the other Stacy, will be joining us. She's just running a little bit behind. I am drinking. I'm just drinking Black Box wine because it was open. I actually bought a bottle of wine for the podcast and I was going to open it. And I was like, oh, but it's closed and my Black Box bottle of wine's open. So, you know, no wine ever goes to waste around here. I'll get to it next week.
It's not and whatnot.
Black Box is you know exactly what you're getting.
Right.
It's delightful.
That's what we drink in your room at in Pittsburgh, right? I'm not even a red wine fan, and I was like,
"It's good. It goes down real smooth. It goes down smooth. You usually get a hangover.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's like a really solid, decent like Wednesday night wine. Like I wouldn't recommend like drinking like 9 glasses of it, but you know,
I'm pretty sure we did.
Well, yes, we did.
Times.
And I wouldn't recommend it.
No. I was struggling the next day.
Oh my God. I can't. Oh, anyway.
Stacey, what do you? You live to tell about it. I'm not feeling super great. So I am drinking a water and a blueberry pomegranate sparkling ice. And if you hear banging in the background, Piper's got a toy that like rolls around and like treats fall out of it. She's only pushing it into the walls.
So, perfect. So, exactly what you wanted her to do with it.
Yes.
I am drinking Three Daughters Brewing Florida Orange IPA. It is delicious. It's one of their small batch beers, and I am 100% loving it. And Three Daughters is a brewery in St. Pete, and I love it. It's one of my very favorite breweries.
Look at you.
You know what we need to try?
I know.
Somebody sent me, I don't know who makes it. I'm trying to go back and look at the picture, but it's supposed to be a beer that tastes like a Dole Whip.
Oh.
Yeah, it's
called Sign Me Up.
Pineapple Magic, and it's made by 903 Brewers. I don't know what that is, but it's pineapple, lactose, vanilla, marshmallow.
Apparently, so it's got a lot of like, sugar.
Well, I mean, yeah, but apparently so was a Dole Whip. So, makes sense. But we need to, that needs to be a thing that happens.
I'm in.
Okay. Well, yeah. We're about to head into the holiday time where we can like drink all kinds of ridiculousness and it's not.
Right. And you get to wear sweaters and stuff. So nobody cares. It's great.
I don't.
So only a few days until the election.
Bum, bum, bum.
I can't handle it.
Bum, bum, bum. So we did, Stacy and I were actually, in the same location last night. So, we know that you guys sent us in several questions about what is going on with vote counting. When are we going to actually know the results? What's going on with the Supreme Court? Like, I get it. There was a definite theme this week in listener questions. So, I want to preface this by giving my opinion on when we think we will know the results. I think it's going to take probably a week. And I think everybody should prepare themselves for that mentally, if not more. And here's a few reasons why. So there's obviously 50 states that are counting votes. Some state, and every state does it differently because the Constitution is pretty explicit that voting is a state's rights issue and that it's not overseen by the federal government. So different states process their votes differently. And some have laws against counting the early votes, which would be whether or not they received your vote mail-in, whether or not you dropped it in a drop box, like whatever that may be, they will not count them until election day. Some states like Pennsylvania do not start counting in early drop-off votings until the day after election day. So, and then some have, if your ballot is not postmarked by election day, well, all of them have to be postmarked by election day. Some states have deemed that if they don't have it physically in their hands on election day, regardless of when it's postmarked, they will not count it. Some states like California, if it's postmarked by election day, they will accept it up until November 20th. Like there's all of these different guidelines. I was actually gonna go through them, but I don't wanna bore people to death. So you can actually just go, like New York Times has a really good section where they've broken down every state into what the state laws are, when they will accept them through, when they anticipate actually their votes being counted, when they anticipate actually having an end date. You can also go to vote.org or Vote Save America has all of this information also, and you can look up your specific state so I don't have to go through and read all 50 states and what they're doing there. Sounds like a terrible idea. Yeah. So that being said, that is why I would love to have election results on Tuesday night. Okay. And right. Like, listen,
we all would, we want to sleep.
Listen, if Texas right. goes blue, turn off your TVs. Joe Biden is going to be president. Like right. If Florida goes blue, the likelihood of Biden being president increases substantially. I did want to cover right now. There's some interesting swing states. Unfortunately, almost all paths to Biden being president are run through Pennsylvania. There's only two scenarios that Pennsylvania doesn't go blue, that Joe Biden wins. And Pennsylvania right now is 85 out of 100 that it will go to Biden. It's right now they're pulling at 52.2 for Biden and 47.1 for Trump, which is 5-point margin, which means it's out of the margin of error. Okay, but there are some interesting toss-up states this year, which are kind of blowing my mind. Arizona.
Which aren't usually.
No, Arizona mm-hmm. is 50.8 for Biden and 48% for Trump, which they typically lean red. And the fact that they're leaning blue right now is kind of mind-boggling. Mm-hmm. Florida. Ugh.
Florida.
Pulling at 50.7 for Biden and 48.6 for Trump. Okay, here's the one that's really like, and for all of you guys who are kind of like, I don't know, geeks about this kind of stuff, Georgia is a swing state right now. It's 50.1% for Biden and 49.1% for Trump. Now,
let's talk about the Dakotas.
Oh.
Since they're not listening.
First of all, fuck the Dakotas.
Hey, no. Doesn't Wyoming not listen either?
Yeah. So South Dakota, with its whopping 3 electoral votes, is 57.2 for Trump and 41.4 for Biden, which is actually high for their Democratic
count. Probably why they're not listening, though.
Sure. Yeah. North Dakota is going 59.5% for Trump and 38% for Biden. So all in all, we have 1, 2, 3, 4. We have 5 swing states this year, which... toss-up states, which is insane. It's absolutely insane. Whoops. The fact that like Texas right now, Texas is 48.5 for Biden and 50.5 for Trump.
That's
Texas
wild.
Is within a point and a half, or 2 points, a point and a half.
Oh. So crazy.
2 points for Biden. And listen, I don't want anyone to think that like if places like Texas and Georgia and Florida go blue, that they're now Democratic states. That's not a thing. I think right. we're in a really unique situation with right. Trump this year. But I also think, getting back to the question, if we have it in our heads, it's going to be called and we have all these little intricacies, you're going to get overwhelmingly the vote counts of people who show up and actually vote that day. Mm-hmm. We know that the vast majority of people who are going to vote in person that day are Republicans, because overwhelmingly people who typically vote Democrat have been dropping off ballots because of COVID. and people that vote Republican are going to be voting in person that day.
Because they don't believe in COVID.
Right. Well, and I think some Democrats Trumpers. Are voting in person that day too. And I think some Republicans probably voted early. No, I'm not I saying, agree. Yeah.
I'm kidding.
But if we allow Trump to push the whole ideology that we're just going off votes that were counted that day and he's pushing to get it called, it's not going to be fair. So I think we need to not only be vocal, but understanding and pushing for, no, this could possibly take a while.
Well, Anne, even if you see someone's polling high.
Yeah.
Still vote.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I know the lines might be long if you waited and you want to vote on election day, but please still vote. Don't think just because the returns that you're getting say one thing, because those change. Mm-hmm. Those change when polls close on the East Coast. They change when polls close on the West Coast. They change overnight. So.
How are you guys feeling about it? I mean, Aaron's her typical calm, cool, and collective self.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, no,
just a ball. Just a ball of anxiety.
Yeah, pretty much. That's me. I'd love to say you're right, Jackie, but I am.
Like, I can't even think about it sometimes right now because it's so stressful to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think a lot of people, too, are, like, suffering from... And I'm not trying to be dramatic by saying like PTSD, but I think the scars of like 2016 are everyone thought Clinton had it so much in the bag that, So I think people are being like cautiously optimistic, which I think is a good thing this time. But yeah, we just may not know for a week or two. That's the thing. And we should want every vote to be counted, regardless of if they're Democrat or Republican. We should want every vote to be counted.
It's just, I don't know what I want more, for Biden to win or for Trump to lose.
Both. You can
like, I don't know which is more important. No, I know it's the same thing, but I don't know which one I will take more pleasure in.
Trump losing.
No, yeah. 100%. I cannot wait to see that fucking big orange crybaby. Jesus. I just am going to.
Dragged out of the White House.
Oh, God. I hope he's kicking and fucking screaming. Mm-hmm. Like, just get the fuck out. You're out, motherfucker. Like, that's...
Eviction notice.
Ugh, God.
I can't wait to see Kamala Harris there.
My heart just, like, got so heavy.
I don't even know how to... I don't know. But you know what? I'm going to start rocking if she does.
All stars?
Jeans, a blazer, and Converse.
Hell, yes!
That is a look.
Yes! That is a fucking fire look right there.
It's such a power, like...
That's the...
I'm not afraid to get your hands dirty, but you mean business.
Right, exactly. That is, I mean fucking business. Not I mean business. It's I mean fucking business. That's what
And
that
it
is.
Also really reminds me of, like... Tina Fey, Amy Poehler, like Weekend Update moment.
Fuck yeah.
Where it's like business on the top, Converse and jeans on the bottom.
Right?
Like,
right?
Very much into it.
Bitches get shit done. Like, that's, she is so like.
Bitch is the new black.
I literally, so like, you know that Lincoln Project video of the girls
big fan.
And like. Like, yeah. Oh, right?
Big fan.
Like, totally. Same. Like, I rewatch it probably once a day because it just makes me so happy because I just feel like regardless of what happens, there's still a group of Americans that want the best for our children and our girls and our women, you know, and it just makes me feel good, even though like, I'm constantly anxious about it. Like, it's like, there's this bright light that like gives me hope. And I mean, I know the Lincoln Project, you know, is obviously, you know, Republicans that are for Trump and everything, but I just feel like at this point in time, it's just exactly what it means to be an American. Just because you lean in a certain direction,
putting country over self,
right? Like you realize that, like at the end of the day, it's all about like your family, and what matters the most to your family is being safe and not feeling like you're constantly going to be like, you know, basically someone's going to put their thumb on you.
Those organizations like Republicans for Biden and the Lincoln Project, and you know, I follow all of them on Twitter and stuff, and they take a lot of heat from the left. And I just want to remind the left, it's because they're not the left. But if you guys could all just pump the brakes a little bit, like we can all, wouldn't it be nice to all go back to a world where we're arguing over policy positions? Mm-hmm. Like give credit where credit is due. No, some of them may never vote Democrat again, but they're doing it when it matters most. Some of these people are one issue voters, Second Amendment, abortion, like all of these things. And they're putting that aside to try and help save the country. Mm-hmm. So I really wish sometimes the left would let go of their self-righteous bullshit and just, we can go back to being frenemies when this is over, but at least mm-hmm. appreciate the fact that they're willing to step outside their echo chamber.
Yes.
And try to take in some actual news and do what's right. Yeah.
Right.
So yeah, they're not progressives because they've never claimed to be progressives. Like I see so much hate come at them sometimes. And I'm like, they're not saying they're Democrats. They're very explicit Republicans for Biden. They're not going to be on your side on everything.
They're not going to be Democrats.
Okay.
But
that's okay.
Right. I saw like one of my Facebook friends posted something like, do not forget that the Lincoln Project, da 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 da. And I was just like, also, like they're clever and they have great videos. And to be completely honest, I'm 100% excited about them. And I will always, and you know what I said the other day to like this group of friends that we chat with every day.
Whoa, you have other friends?
No, they're not my friends. Okay. They're Gail's friends. Okay. Sorry. I didn't want to like alert you.
We didn't approve
that. Yeah. Sorry. Okay, no, I have no other friends. I'm basically just your guys' bitch.
I'm glad we talked about it.
All right. Yeah, me too. In public. Someone said something about like, would you really not want to be friends with me anymore if I voted for Trump? And I was just like, okay, first of all,
yes,
I would not want to be friends with you anymore. But if you were a Republican and you're voting for a Republican, I think that's different.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You're not a Republican voting for a Republican. You're voting for Trump, who is mm-hmm. not what a Republican really is.
Bingo.
So that's the difference. And that's where I feel like there's this giant divide. And it's like, you know, there's
you're not a Republican, you're a Trumper.
Right, exactly.
Right, it's different.
Exactly. Like, it's just not the same. And I don't hate Republicans. I've never hated Republicans, but I fucking hate Trumpers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I do not like Trumpers. And I use that term very freely. I hate them. I think that I hate everything they stand for. I think that is ridiculous. I think every single one of them haven't even a fucking leg to stand on. When you try to ask them why they like Trump, they go, well, I hate Biden because I didn't ask you why you hate Biden. I asked you why you like Trump, and you can't even fucking explain it to me without saying something about the fucking economy while you're working two jobs, you dumb fuck. Like, in my mind, at this point in time, I don't hate Republicans at all, and I actually really enjoy listening to a Republican tell me why they're a Republican. I do not give a fuck why people like Trump.
Yeah, like if you want to have when you get in conversations with actual Republicans and they talk about like they believe in like states' rights and you know they want to take a nod to the Federalist Papers and like they have like real constitutional convictions about certain things. Those are policy positions that you can actually have a conversation about.
Right.
Saying things like, well, it's because I just want to own the libs. That's not like a policy.
Right.
Like when you want to actually have a substantial conversation of, I don't think there should be a public option in healthcare because I think it will actually kill the free market and we need to focus on capitalism. That's a policy position that we can actually discuss.
Right.
And weigh the pros and cons and like whatever. Saying that you just hate liberals and like seeing them like you want to drink their tears, that's not a policy position.
That's fucking psycho.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and I do think true Republicans in like the classic sense, I think you would find a lot of them have some pretty moderate viewpoints when it comes to certain issues. Like mm-hmm. until you start getting into the far we had this conversation last night. There's a difference between like extreme conservatives, extreme progressives, and then like Democrats and Republicans who mm-hmm. will have moderate issues on certain things. And it's okay to have a variety of those things. I've said it 100 times in here. We need gas and brakes. We have to have people that push policies forward, and the opposing side that are like, well, hold on, have we thought about how this will affect A, B, C, D? That is how, that's how we function.
Yeah.
That's how things are supposed to go. It's okay to have people with differing viewpoints in your circle of conversation, as long as everyone is having an honest conversation with true facts.
Mm-hmm.
People have different lenses that they see things through. They grew up differently. They grew up in different families. They grew up in different areas. They grew up in different socioeconomic situations. And it's okay to have all of those people at the table to have a conversation on how best to serve everyone. But Trumpers are not that. Mm-mm. They're just not.
No.
Nope.
So fuck them.
They really have no, like, they have no, like I said, they have no leg to stand on. Nothing. Like, the other day, yesterday, Trump was in Tampa at Raymond James Stadium, where it's an early voting site, and he was able to have it there because he was more than 150 feet away from the entrance.
Yeah, how is that not electioneering?
So it's fucking bullshit.
Because you have to be 150 feet.
I know, but it's still.
But at the end of the day, you know, those people were closer than 150 feet once they were all jumbled in there. But like, I was driving back from Tampa and into like the suburbs, and I passed this guy. He's like probably 19, right? And he has like in the back of his truck a rocket. Like it's like a miniature rocket, and it's got like Trump up the side of it.
Oh my god.
And I was like,
he had a small penis.
Yeah, I literally drove by him and I was like, I hate you. Like I mouthed it. But I was like, oh my god, like,
Aaron, I love you.
Don't get shot, Aaron.
I'm going to. He probably did have a gun.
Yeah.
God. He probably had like a fucking automatic rifle or whatever the fuck it's mm-hmm. called. I don't even know
what
it is.
He's gonna shoot his rocket at you.
He probably is. Ew.
That's like the little pink rocket.
Awful. Oh, that's horrific.
Oh god. But I just like, and then like on the side of his truck said, all aboard the Trump train. I was like, Trump train, you fuckers. Like, come on. Also,
Trump would be driving a fucking train. Everybody else is getting electric cars. Right. He's like, you know what?
I love driven train.
Yeah, coal.
Coal with the big black smokestack. Fucker. God, I hate him.
Ugh. Positive note, and not to turn it to Taylor Swift, but I'm going to for a second.
Heyo.
Did you guys see that she, for the first time in the history of her public life, lent a song to a campaign video?
No, I did not see this. What the fuck, Jackie? Why was this not the first text I woke up to this morning? I'm shook.
So the song she wrote for after the 2016 election, the Only the Young, which talks about like how the voting in the country will be turned around by young voters. She lent it to an ad camp or a electoral campaign for Biden. And it's the first time. And I ordered something from her for a Christmas present for someone. And when it came today, first of all, let me tell you how delightful Taylor's packages are. Okay. It came with cut up confetti, like star confetti, like
tissue. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And it had a whole vote thing in like the folklore writing in it. Yeah. It was very cute.
So and like individually.
I told Lex, I was like, I'm keeping it. And I was like, do I save the stars that are cut up in here? Like, yes. I don't know. Like they're tissue paper stars and you can tell they're hand cut. Do I save them?
Yes.
I don't know.
You save them. See, these are the moments when like, when you would say like, I don't normally save stuff. This is the shit you fucking save. Right there. That's what you save. You put it in a Ziploc and you tuck it away and there you go.
I just thought it was cool that she loaned her song for the first time to like an election ad.
That's awesome. Very cool. She's the best.
She really
is. She's so delightful.
She is the best. One of the other questions we got, it was, if it does get thrown to the Supreme Court, what do we think this particular Supreme Court will do?
Fuck
it all up.
Right?
Well, so one of my problems with this question was, it doesn't actually get thrown to the Supreme Court because if it were like a tie, it would go to the House.
Right.
And because this person didn't articulate if they meant tie or if there was like voting rights issues, like there was back.
Well, yeah. Which part do they mean? Do they mean him refusing to leave? Do they mean?
Right. Yeah. So
I just don't have a whole lot of faith in this Supreme Court currently. So mm-hmm. I would like to think that anyone who's a judge, regardless of party affiliation, would believe in a peaceful transition of power. And, but I don't know. I don't trust. I don't trust any of them at this point.
And the likelihood that there is actually voter fraud is right. so slim. It's like,
right.
So
because you would it's think, not a thing.
Right. Like you would think like as a Supreme Court justice, you would be like, okay, I mean, I'm obviously conservative, but mm-hmm. the people have spoken and that is, I'm in this position, you know? So like you would hope.
Yeah.
I just don't think we have enough information. I mean, you could kind of guess how like Brett Kavanaugh would go because of his right. the whole part that he played in the Bush Gore debacle and some of his recent rulings, which didn't even follow state law, which is kind of bananas.
He doesn't really know the law.
Right. And clearly his clerks don't either, which is odd. I could probably guess how like Alito and Clarence Thomas mm-hmm. would go. I don't know how Amy Coney Barrett would vote, and I don't know how Neil Gorsuch would vote. And I only say that about Amy Coney Barrett because we haven't seen her try a case yet. We haven't seen her or talk about a case yet.
Has she tried a case yet?
No. And although we know how, we could probably guess how she would come down on like abortion rights or marriage equality. You're right. Voting is so ingrained in the Constitution, and she's such mm-hmm. like a constitutionalist
right.
based on, you know, in the kind of the same framework as Antonin Scalia. Like, I don't know how it would fall for her. We don't know enough about her yet to say. So I understand the panic. I don't know if we should worry about that yet. Like mm-hmm. just vote. If you haven't one step at a time, we can talk that to death. If and when it happens, there's no point in stressing about it when it hasn't occurred yet.
God, I wish I was like that in all of my life.
Well, look, the only way it would get tossed to the Supreme Court is if for whatever, like the reason it went there in 2000 was because fucking Florida. Okay.
In Florida.
Florida.
It all came down to about 540 votes. So if Biden wins in a landslide, this won't even be a conversation. So mm-hmm. I just don't see the point in stressing off of this until we actually see the election. Like in Texas, there are already more people that have voted early than voted in all of 2016. All of it.
So, wait, like the entire country?
No.
Oh, in like Texas. All of Texas. Okay.
All of Texas.
I was like, there's that many fuckers in Texas?
Well, not just that. In Georgia also. Like, more people are... We have never seen voter turnout like this ever. So to worry about those kinds of things at this point is just... There's so much to be anxious and worry about. That's just like, let's go ahead and put... I mean, keep it on your list, sure, but let's bump it to the bottom. Like... One of the things about learning to prioritize anxiety issues is being like, okay, what is actually imminent? And I'm going to put the rest
of the bottom. What should I worry about the most?
Right. Yeah. Let's bump it to the bottom. Yeah. And if we get there, we get there. And if not, like, let's just worry about voting. The other thing that I wanted to mention before we go into more fun topics is if you are planning on voting with mail-in ballot, do not mail it at this point. You need to take mm-hmm. it to a drop box or wait until election day and drop it off at your polling location. Do not mail it. Okay. You missed the date. You missed it. Sorry. It's over.
Right.
You have to take it in. So
super easy. There's so many locations
right now. Go ahead, Stace. How's your voting coming along?
I totally haven't even opened it.
You still haven't opened it?
It's so daunting. It's like, this huge packet, and like I remember last time when I was trying to like register and they were like, you missed a signature, and I didn't, and I had to go talk to the register lady, and I was like, what are you talking about? And it was a whole thing. It's just daunting.
So for those that don't know, California typically has a bunch of different ballot measures that we vote on, and one of the reasons is California is the easiest state to get things on mm-hmm. ballot measures. Like you don't, it doesn't require the 100,000 signatures that it does in some places. It only requires, I think, like 1,500. It only requires like one sponsor from Congress. It doesn't require five like other states. So we vote on a shit ton of measures every 2 years because it's so easy to get things on the ballot. That, and you're also talking about a state of 30 million people. Like there's a lot of shit going on. So every single time we vote, there's between like 12 and 20 ballot measures that we have to look at, which is why I don't want anyone to be like, oh, Stacey's being dramatic. There's a lot of ballot measures to like read through, and they're often intentionally worded confusingly and meant to mislead voters. So it's a daunting task in California. I am very up on all the, well, it took me an hour to vote. It took me an hour.
Yeah, it takes a while.
Yeah.
She's like, if it took you an hour, right?
The way they word shit makes my head hurt. And all the commercials and texts that I get that's like, vote yes on 21, vote no on 21, vote yes on 21. And you're like,
I pick maybe?
It's not that bad.
There's only 11 pages.
That looks like the SAT. Yes.
It's not that bad. It comes with your envelope and
it's overwhelming.
It's 100% overwhelming. I totally agree with you. One of the like cheat ways to do it, if you want, you want to hear a cheat way, is to look at who's sponsoring and not sponsoring the bill and how you align with them. So it depends on how much you trust, like who you put your support in.
Just go down the thing and mark Democrat everything.
Right. Until you get to the ballot measures and then it's yes or no.
Yeah. Which those, I remember I like sat in bed, like texting Stacey and Googling everything last time for at least an hour, reading so much stuff. And I've been getting crazy amounts of text messages this time, which I think is very annoying. How did I get on this list?
I think it's really good that like there are some people that don't give a fuck. And just like, yes, no, whatever, but I'm just here to vote for the president. I don't care.
Here's the other thing, too.
Which part is intimidating? Is your voter information guide thing intimidating?
Yeah.
Like this thing? Okay. Yeah. So most of that is like, there is a sample ballot, but it's also all the candidate statements. Mm-hmm. And I know at least mine, like just looking at it right now, it's in here in English, Spanish, Chinese, Mandarin. Like there's, it's a lot of that. And then like, here's where you can fill stuff out. And then there's stuff about the census. And so it's a lot smaller than it looks, if that makes sense.
Here's the other thing too, that a lot of people don't think about. If you're on a ballot measure and you're truly like, I don't fucking know, you can skip it. Mm-hmm. You don't have to vote on them.
See, I worry about skipping stuff because I'm afraid it's going to void my whole thing if I skip anything. I need to like overdo it. Because
it's not the SATs. It's,
where you get register thing screwed me and I was like, I know I filled it all out.
You don't have to vote on every ballot measure. If you didn't want to, you wouldn't have to vote on any of them. You could go in and just vote for Joe Biden and turn it in.
Yeah.
Have to vote on what you want to.
But I think the packet is very like intimidating, but also because I don't follow like a lot of political social media and I also don't watch the news, I literally have to Google every single thing that they're talking about because I don't pick up anything
here with us week after week, like nothing.
No, we don't talk about stuff we would vote on in California. But, you know, so I have to, like, Google all the measures and Google the people and, like, read their statements. And, like, I want to make an informed decision. And because I don't follow politics, I have to look up everything. So it takes forever. And it's just...
Yeah.
If it makes you feel any better, even though I do follow politics loosely, like, in Florida, when I went to vote, I had to, like, look up everything. Like, when fortunately, I mean, I don't know if I was allowed to or not, but I literally sat at my station and looked everything up.
Oh, I've done that before.
Gail was like, what the fuck took you so long? I was like, I looked everything up.
Even if you follow politics really closely, it's okay. Like because the vast majority of like the text message you're getting and the flyers you're getting, it's coming from one side. So it's still good to look things up on your own and form your own opinions about it. Like, and sometimes there's not like, there's some ballot measures on there this time that I can 100% see both sides of the argument. And I'm like, God, it's tough. Yeah. It's tough because, well, like, there's, for those that don't know, there's a huge ballot measure in California going on right now that would essentially make Uber and like DoorDash and Lyft workers no longer like independent contractors. It would make them employees. Okay. And oftentimes California is put in a position where they're on the forefront of creating labor laws and different type, like we're on the forefront of, you know, legal marijuana. And like there's all of these things that California is constantly setting the early bar for break, because then other states can go and fight and say in California versus whoever California won the case, you know. Mm-hmm. So California is in the unfortunate position where it's oftentimes the testing ground. And one of the reasons is because we are such a big state. We do have so many different demographics here, and you can run the gamut. There are certain parts of California that are as red as Alabama. And then there are certain parts of California that are as blue as Washington, D.C. So you have a huge sample size here of how things work. So that's why it's oftentimes a testing ground for these types of issues. So it's difficult sometimes to decide what you're going to do because no one has done those things before. So in this ballot measure, the one, the Uber one, is a really good example, because if California makes Uber make their drivers employees, it's going to fall like dominoes, and all of a sudden Uber is going to lose a shit ton of money because they're going to actually have to start paying for their employees like they would any other employees.
Okay, so wait, we want yes on that one?
I could legitimately make an argument for both sides.
I can too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I can too. Like as a small business owner, mm-hmm. and I know Uber's not small, but like, if you think about like, so you employ all these people, that means you have to pay taxes for all these people. You have mm-hmm. to do workman's comp for all these people. You have to do da, 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 da. So like Uber as a company is going to have to shell out shit tons of money.
I can make an argument for both sides.
Yeah. But then you think
you're also exploiting their workers.
Exactly.
Right? So
exactly.
I can see both. So it's just kind of a gut.
Yeah.
What matters
in that case, I would look at like what I would want if I were working for Uber. Like it would be really great if I didn't have to pay my own insurance and I didn't have to, you know, didn't have to pay my own taxes at the end of the year. They did it.
But like a lot of them don't know any better. So that's mm-hmm. that's where they're taking advantage too. And that's not going to hold up in court. Like just because Uber would still be liable, even if that person's an independent contractor, they're just not protected even. So yeah,
I think I can make an argument make them mm-hmm. it makes them able to like unionize.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think I would want that.
You could also say too though that some people like the flexibility of just being able to go pick up a shift for 3 hours and make $50 and go mm-hmm. home, whereas if they became employees they may have a standard 8-hour shift, so then it's no longer like a part-time job at their own free will. They would be like scheduled and expected. So I see both sides, because mm-hmm. on one hand, of course I don't want people being exploited that are already, this is already their second or third job. Like that to me is horrible. But at the same time, I'm like, but what if that's exactly what they want? Like, who am I to say that they
can't have
an opportunity? I know. So that one was a really, really tough one for me.
Yeah.
I might even skip it because it's like one of those things that it doesn't have anything to do with you, then stay out of it and let the people that are really affected by it vote.
But it will set a standard going forward. Mm-hmm. That's the part that it will set a precedent then that will dictate. It starts with Uber and Lyft and DoorDash, but it will set a standard that will dictate labor laws for a long time.
Yeah.
Yep.
So it's, I don't know. It's definitely a personal choice. I could have 100% gone either way on it for a variety of reasons. So.
Yeah.
That's hard. That's mm-hmm. very difficult. Cause you think like as an employer, you want this, as an employee, you want this,
mm-hmm.
you know, like as a subcontractor or independent contractor, you're like, I know I need to file my own taxes. I'm fine with that. I pay my own insurance anyway. Everything's fine. Like, I don't know. It's just
the part that kind of irked me about it, which is what sent me one way versus the other, was Uber spent literally millions and millions and millions of dollars to defeat this bill. And to me, I was like, you could have been paying your employees.
Right. That's fishy. So...
Yeah.
Yeah.
That to me, I was like, I felt in my, like, when I was like, well, you got to pick one. That was the deciding factor for me. Cause I'm like, that's kind of shady. Cause you literally spent millions of dollars that you could have given back to your employees for even minimal coverage or perks or whatever that you chose to ignore because you want to protect your long-term bottom line, which I get is a business decision that a business would make. But at that point is when it like crystallized for me, you care more about your profits than you ever will about the people who work for you. And that was my, like, that's what pushed me one way versus the other. But that's just my thought process on something that I was truly torn on.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I don't use Uber. I use Lyft.
But they're in it together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cause but I feel like Lyft is a little bit more like.
Well, Uber's done some shady fucking shit. Yeah.
God.
But then I'm like, oh God, is my DoorDash like going to go up? But that's such like a classist, like privileged thing to fucking do it. It's not even. Yeah. I know it's a shitty thing to do.
My burger is going
to. The other thing I wanted to talk about before we go into what we're obsessed with. Last episode, I had tried to say that I wasn't worried about marriage equality being overturned. And I got some feedback from some of our listeners. And I don't have a problem admitting when I had like a closed-minded view about this. And one of our listeners said, it's not about marriage equality. I came from a position where I'm safe in California. Yes. My marriage won't be threatened here because my state will never overturn it. It's kind of the same way women in California don't ever have to worry about having access to abortions because it's enshrined in our state constitution. Right. I wasn't thoughtful about it, thinking about if marriage equality gets overturned in states that don't have those privileges, that means that it won't be long before they start overturning adoption rights, foster care rights, medical rights, where you couldn't go see your long-term partner in the hospital. You wouldn't be able to see the child that you helped raise that you may be on the birth certificate. You may be denied adoption for a kid that you have been there with the entire time. I wasn't thinking that through. And you're right. So marriage equality plays a much bigger issue than whether or not you're just allowed to get married. And I completely understand why our listeners in states that are not as secure as others are absolutely terrified of what it will mean for their lives. And so it made me do a lot more reading about sources that I read a lot of New York Times and Washington Post. And I spent some time reading some different sources. And you're right, it is much scarier than I had originally thought it was with Amy Comey Barrett now on the Supreme Court, linking arms with Justice Alito and Clarence Thomas and Brett Kavanaugh. And the LGBT community they're in a lot of danger. And that was naive of me to think that it wouldn't affect people outside of my little bubble. So I think once this election's over and we can focus on some other things, we're going to have to start focusing on how we're going to protect marriage equality because of all the things that are tethered to marriage equality that come with basic rights. When you're married to someone, you can go see them if they're dying. You're immediately entitled to medical decisions for them. And if something like that happens, that's not going to be the case anymore. And kids are going to be affected. Families are going to be affected. Retirements are going to be affected. Survivor's benefits are going to be affected. There's all of those things that I didn't even consider. So that is my fault. And I appreciate our listener pointing that out to me. And I need to be more thoughtful about and think more about than just where I live sometimes, which I'm sorry. So my bad.
Yeah.
I wasn't trying to be flippant. There's just so much going on all of the time that it wasn't like imminent to me because it's not up in front of the Supreme Court right now. So I hadn't read enough about it, like the long-term damage that something like that could do. So that's on me.
Well, I think too, when you did talk about it, you did make a good point as to it probably won't get overturned because of the different issues that it will cause if it does get overturned, which, you know, I thought was obviously very thoughtful that you said it. I think you used the word quagmire, which I was like, that is like the coolest fucking word. And I actually told Gail about it when you said it. I was like, Jackie just used quagmire in a sentence. Like, who does that? I love it. I know. I love it. But I mean, it is scary. And I do, I like you've said a thousand times, like, I love our listeners because they really do bring up things that, like, we might not be thinking about. I mean, A, we're three sheets to the wind, and B, like, we also don't live everywhere. You know what I mean? Like, we live in, like, different places. Like, you guys all live in California.
That was profound. We don't live everywhere. And
we live in Jean's computer.
We do live in Jean's computer.
But, like, I just feel that it's important to remember that, like, there's so many different aspects to every person's life, and it's really easy to forget that from wherever you're at, you know, especially if you're
except the Dakotas, fuck y'all.
Yeah. And Wyoming, what the fuck? You know, like, I think even here in Florida, I mean, I'm not married right now. So it's like, yeah, it's scary to me, but, like, I don't think about, like, how much it could affect.
This is how Aaron gets to stay unmarried if marriage.
Because I'm lazy.
Fuck. Aren't we all?
Yeah, I mean.
What do you guys, does anyone have any Halloween plans?
I'll be working.
Yeah.
Outside of just, like, my norm? No.
Well, you'll be editing.
Yes, editing, but I have to watch Halloween.
Are you going to do it in a costume? Or are you going to put, like, full face paint on and edit?
Sure.
Please do.
Absolutely not. I need to, I have to watch Halloween. Okay. I have to watch Halloween 2. I have to watch Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Yeah. Duh.
That's how I end the night.
I know. So I got to be done with editing around 4.
I'm working. We're doing a big drive-through candy event thing. My booth is Beetlejuice themed.
Nice.
I'm pretty excited. I'll be dressing as Lydia.
That's fun.
Nice. I cannot wait to see this.
I really wanted to be Miss Argentina, but I didn't have my shit together enough to, like, get the costume and get, like, the paint and the dress and the whole morph suit and everything. So I'm going to be Lydia.
Because she's lazy.
And she just wears all black because I'm lazy.
Are you going to have the song playing?
Yeah, I have a speaker in, so we're going to have a couple little Beetlejuice songs playing.
Nice. Nice.
Stace, you got anything going on for Halloween?
None.
No?
Nope. Although I have to say, the Spirit Stores are start clearance their stuff already, and that's very exciting.
Ooh.
What's everyone obsessed with this week?
I was going to talk about my Twilight trip. I feel like, please, I have a delay on here. Yes. I was going to, but then today we did something more. So,
what do you have, reverb on?
Everybody get off Netflix.
Everybody off the internet right now.
God, our country ass Wi-Fi.
It's just Kai out there holding a fucking satellite. Like, Kai, you got to take 3 steps to the left.
Freeze! That's perfect.
He's just on the roof with one of those old school antennas, just like
tinfoil hat on. Am I glitchy?
Tell us about your Twilight trip.
Okay, I'm going to save the Twilight trip for next week because we did something more exciting today.
Tell us about both. We have time.
Okay, so today we went to Sequest, which I think is a chain all over the U.S. If you have the opportunity to go, it was so good. I thought it was going to be like kind of a like rinky-dink aquarium because it was on Groupon. It was like $40 for a family of 4 with like 8 tokens and like all this stuff. And I was like, it's going to be lame. It was so good.
What is it?
It's like an aquarium, but they have animals too. So like you go in and you get tokens and I think they're $1 each. Ours came with 8 tokens, so I just bought more. And you go in and you put the tokens in gumball machines at the front of every animal, and it gives you the food for that animal, and you go in and feed it.
Oh, so like, you know,
yeah. And then you can pay extra tokens. Like, you can pay 3 tokens, and you get to go in with the Bengal cats and, like, play with them. Fun. And that's then fun. I paid – there's 2 extra exhibits where for $20 you can go in and play with the otters – or you can go in
sold
and play with a sloth and her baby. When did we go?
How did you not take us?
What is happening?
Can you believe, I was floored. I like ran back to the counter and was like, here's my $20.
I need to die.
Yes, I saved like 15 tokens because I was like, I'm bringing Lincoln here. Like,
I could meet an otter. What about me?
Can I come?
I get to pet a shark.
What about me?
Yeah. Meet an otter.
Kira went in and played with the mama sloth and her baby. There's no time limit for the $20. So she was playing with it for like 20 minutes. And because we were there,
we have to go immediately. We have to go right
there.
And then honey, pack your shit. We're going.
They have like an area you can feed like the different lizards and the turtles, and you can swim in the shark tank, but that was like $40. So I was doing that.
Jackie's shut up and take my money.
You can feed the stingray and they like come up to you. It was so good.
Oh my God. I'm sold. Let's go.
It was so good.
Fucking sold. We'll leave Stacey in the otter tank. We'll just go see all the other things.
Oh, and they hold hands.
They're going to put those little dishes in each other.
Nobody was going to the otters because you can see them behind glass, or you can pay the money and you can go in and play with them and feed them from your hand. And like,
was it full of monsters?
And nobody wanted to pay the money. So they were coming up to the glass underneath the thing where you could put food in the hole. And they were like holding their hands out and like tapping the glass like this.
Oh my God,
like,
we have to go right now.
Who are you communicating?
Where's this at?
It was in Folsom.
Okay, we're going.
We're 100%.
They were holding their hands out for the food under the hole. Like,
oh, it's like that meme where it's like when you're having a bad day and you don't want to talk about it and you like put your hand through the glass. You guys I'm going to find it.
We're going.
It was epic. Yes, and
this is happening.
We are going back for sure.
For sure.
Even the gift shop was like reasonably priced. Like Kira got like a stuffed shark for like $10. Also, the spirit store sells their props and all their stuff for a donation. So we got this huge funhouse, like cardboard thing. Like
she goes stock up for next year's Hometown Halloween.
Yes. Oh, I know. So like the big things, you know how like over each section it has like what it is. So like the big Harley Quinn cardboard stuff, and then like the funhouse circus stuff is over like that section. All that cardboard stuff, they just give it to you if you make a donation.
That's cool.
So oh my God, you are just a well of information. Like just a wealth of it.
If you're decorating for like a haunted house or something, absolutely go there on like the day before Halloween because
I'll
go fast. The Twilight trip was good. I'm glad I did it, but I wouldn't do it again. It was way too much time in the car. And we would like get to the destination, see some stuff, go to bed, wake up, get in the car the whole day again. So it was like, we spent I know that's what a road trip is for, but we spent so much time in the car.
No one explained it to me.
Just to take some pictures and get back in the car. So I'm glad I did it. We had a lot of fun, but next time I would choose somewhere like within 10 hours or just have more days because
there you go. Put more
but
days.
We got to see like the Cullen's house, Bella's house, eat at the diner. We saw all the Twilight stuff. So it was good. I'm glad I did it. Wouldn't do it again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Aaron, what are you obsessed with this week?
To be completely honest, I have
lie to us.
I'm gonna lie to you and tell you that I have not been doing edits. Actually, I've been doing edits on Guarding Evelyn, so I've been like nonstop edits. But before this, I had two shows that I was like watching. One of them was The 100. I started getting back into it because of Jackie.
So good.
And it's so good. God, it's so good.
We watched that a long time ago.
I just can't fucking believe it. I restarted it
because
it
I never finished it. And I was like, I want to rewatch it. And then I was like, oh my God, you have to watch it right now. I was like, oh my God,
it was good.
Yeah. It's just so good. It's so well written. Like the first season in particular is just so fresh and new and not something you're used to seeing. But then I also started watching. So I love
Elizabeth Shue. Oh, I'm sorry. Started watching something else? Excuse me.
You know what?
Not agree. You are supposed to be catching up to me in the 100. We did not discuss a co-show.
And you're watching The West Wing with me.
First of all, this is you, slut.
Her and I have been watching The West Wing for months.
Months.
Oh.
Listen, okay. I saw.
It's not a good look on you, is all I'm saying. Mm-hmm. It's not a good look.
Why am I not allowed to explain myself?
Why don't we have a show? No one does. We don't have a show.